Welcome back, Ruby Tuesday. As always, I'm Patrick Ruby of Sports on Earth. And because we're actually recording this on a Monday, today is one of my favorite days of the year, the day after Selection Sunday. Helping us get ready for March Madness is today's guest, USA Today college basketball writer Nicole Auerbach. Nicole, welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
No, thank you for coming. I know this is one of your busiest days of the year. When I had you back on in December, conference season was just getting started, but now it's over. We have the tournament. You spent the last week covering conference tournaments. How are you holding up?
I'm tired. I am running on fumes, but this is the best time of the year, right? So just gotta, you know, ignore the sleep factor and just go through. But I'm excited for the tournament. I love talking about, you know, who could be a number one seed and which bubble teams deserve to go in. But by the time Selection Sunday rolls around, I'm so ready to just have the field and just go into the tournament and have actual games and stop talking in hypotheticals. So I am with you. Today is a good day.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I'm always amazed at sort of the cottage industry that bracketology has become. And then it's one of those things where it's kind of like NFL draft speculation. The second the thing actually happens, all that work, all that effort, all those magazines, all those newscasts, it all just becomes completely irrelevant. I just find that really fascinating. But look, let's jump right into the brackets. And I want to start in the South, where Florida is the top seed. They were beat up at the start of the season, and I feel as though they've been flying a little bit under the radar. How good are they, actually, and how do you like their chances to come out of this region?
I like the in the whole title, actually. I think so. Actually, when this region was unveiled, it was the first one, and I actually tweeted, like, I wonder if there will be a region tougher than this, because I thought it was going to be the one. I thought, you know, maybe not bracket of death or whatever people like to say, but I thought this would be a really tough region. You've got UCLA, Kansas, Syracuse, all with Florida in the same region. But obviously the Midwest has been deemed the toughest and the most unfair. But I think that this is going to be a tough challenge, but you're right. I mean, I think they can get through it. But you got Syracuse coming off of kind of a slump to enter the NCAA tournament. You've got Kansas dealing with Joel Embiid's injury. I think it really opens it up. I mean, UCLA played fantastic to beat Arizona in the Pac-12 title, but I think that Florida, like you said, has flown under the radar, surprisingly, for a number one team in the country. They've been number one for, what, like a month now? And I think, you know, it's almost like, you know, they're dealing with injuries and suspensions at the beginning of the year. I mean, you think about how important Scotty Wilbekin is to this team. He wasn't on the team in the beginning of the season. You know, and then they just sort of pieced it together. I mean, it wasn't like Michigan State where the injuries actually hurt them. I mean, they were able to survive it, get through it. I mean, credit to Billy Donovan for, you know, piecing together lineups and getting them through that period. But then they just kind of, you know, slowly just started winning games. And I mean, maybe part of this is the SEC, you know, this year it was less than impressive, and it was kind of Florida and everybody else. But I still think that they're playing as well as anybody in the country and have been for, you know, almost the entire season. So I give them a good shot to get out of this region. I think there's a lot of openings. There could be a couple upsets. You never know. But I mean, despite UCLA, I think UCLA might end up being the toughest game in that region.
Really? Does Florida have, you know, I'm glad you mentioned UCLA, because I look at there as a team that is kind of an unbalanced roster, but there's NBA talent on that team. And I always like NBA talent when I'm looking at tournament games. What about Florida? You know, who are sort of the guys that we're not paying attention to? We pay attention to all these freshmen this year, a couple of upperclassmen. I feel like Florida's roster has not gotten that same sort of scrutiny or hype.
That's a good point. You know, I was reading somewhere, I guess, that people have studied that sort of thing. Like, you know, teams that win titles have, you know, at least one NBA player on them or whatever, what have you. And Florida doesn't, I mean, Florida doesn't have a first round talent, that's for sure. And that's what's kind of made them the most interesting team, you know, in the country in many ways to me, is that, you know, we've been talking about Andrew Wiggins and Jabari Parker and those guys. And the teams that have had these first round talents, lottery pick kind of guys, have had their ups and downs all season. And yet you have a veteran laden team, a lot of seniors who stayed all 4 years at Florida, who've played together, been to three Elite Eights together. And they've been just been plugging away, been very consistent. And they have, Florida has a couple of the freshmen that were highly touted. They had Casey Hills, a point guard, and Chris Walker wasn't eligible until, recently. And those guys may end up being that kind of a player. They're not right now, though. And so I think what's interesting about them is, they're extreme. They're the opposite of the freshman, the year of the freshman. And I think that's actually been one of the most compelling storylines of the whole season to me is the team like Florida. You've got, Shabazz Napier, Sean Kilpatrick, you've got Doug McDermott. The senior class has been incredibly strong this season. And just that they have done that in the so-called year of the freshman has been one of the most interesting things to me, since November, that we've seen that emerge and the seniors kind of get their share of the spotlight too.
Well, let's go back to that year of the freshman thing because I just, ESPN's pounded into my brain. I can't get away from it. What do we know about Joel Embiid's back injury and how is that going to affect Kansas?
Well, Bill Self has made some public statements on it, and it came up on the selection committee conference call last night, obviously, and they said that they thought Kansas, even without Embiid, deserved a 2 seed, and I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, I think they should have been slotted down one because I think that is a significant injury for that team, but. Bill Self was saying that he's definitely out the first weekend of the tournament, and then they're going to see. But now, in the debate raged immediately, how could he do this? Or, other coaches would just get skewered for rushing a guy like Embiid back too soon. And honestly, save those arguments for when it actually happens, because I don't think that that's going to happen. I mean, you're talking about a lottery pick kind of player. You do not rush him back. I mean,
Especially with a back injury. We're talking about a tweaked
exactly.
ankle here.
Exactly. That's not something that you can just like, oh, boom, it's fixed. It's something that could linger, and like I think of CJ McCollum at Lehigh last year. He broke his foot, and the time frame was not all that tight. They added a couple extra weeks at the start. They were like, we're just going to be very cautious, and they did not rush him back to try to make the NCAA tournament. And everyone respects that. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be looking out for these kids' futures as well. So anyway, my point with that is that I don't think we'll see Embiid back. I'd be surprised, and. I think that's definitely going to hurt Kansas because, when you have an injury this time of year, it's just so hard to kind of refigure out things and lineups and chemistry. And I know that, with the younger teams, they're still doing that. They're still evolving even at this point in the season. But when you lose a key guy like him and someone who can take over a game and really have a huge impact, it does affect the way that we play, you play. And we saw that in the Big 12 tournament. I mean, I think with full strength, they probably, maybe, would have won the whole thing. So, I think that it'll be interesting to see. But like I said initially, I think that really opens up that region in general because I think between that injury and Syracuse slumping, Florida couldn't really ask for kind of a better setup right now. And I think they will come out of that.
I have to ask one more Kansas question.
Sure.
Andrew Wiggins, he's going to be gone. This is the last couple of games we're going to see him. Is he now the player we thought he would be coming into this season?
Yeah, I definitely think we've reached that point. I think people have stopped, being disappointed by him or surprised that he's not impacting games because he is impacting every game. And he's really reaching a level where he can just kind of flip a switch and take over. And I think that it's been really, really fun to watch. He has been one of the most dynamic and interesting players, in the last few weeks to watch him play in the game. And he's almost becoming, kind of must-see TV, like I would say Doug McDermott is, just because, those guys are just capable of just going off at any given point, any given game. They're going to keep their team in no matter who they're playing. And
McDermott's shooting is just ridiculous.
Oh yeah, and I've seen him score at least 40 points twice this season. And it doesn't surprise me anymore. I mean, he gets 20 before I even open my laptop to start covering the game, and it's just unbelievable. But Wiggins, I think, is almost getting to that point where you got to see what he's gonna do. He's capable of doing a lot and just kind of some freakish athletic things. And I think that's good to see. He came in with unrealistically high expectations, and it's good that he's. Not, I mean, meeting them or at least it's that people are going to stop picking on him and nitpicking because, he's had an incredible freshman year and we should acknowledge that.
Right. Now, so, Kansas has an injury. You said Syracuse is slumping. Do you have a dark horse in this region? If you're not going to go with Florida, is there another team that you think has the ability to get out of the bracket?
Well, I mean, UCLA wouldn't really be a dark horse as a 4 seed, but I think they're playing well. I think I've got Dayton pulling off the upset to Syracuse. I think that's possible just because, when you're a team like a when you're facing like an 11 seed, a 10-11, these are bubble teams that had to play their way in. So they're coming in with some confidence, some momentum. Syracuse is not. But also, New Mexico, people are kind of in a little bit of an uproar about them being seeded a 7. And that's they have the talent, they have the coaching, the ability, and some experience on that team to pull off an upset of like a Kansas and kind of make some noise. So, if they can do that, they could pro you know they could give Florida a run for its money too. But honestly, this is one of the regions where I think the top seeds almost have, an easier path than in some of the other corners of the bracket.
Do you have a most likely first round upset in this region, upset special?
I would say Dayton over
Dayton.
Ohio State. Yeah, I think that the South, the Stephen F. Austin VCU game will be like a popular.
But
Be guarded against that.
yeah, but so Ohio State, they just can't score, right?
Right. And that's going to be their downfall. I mean, they can play, solid, good defense, but you got to outscore people in the NCAA tournament. You got to be able to have a go-to guy, and they don't have that. So, I think that makes them vulnerable.
Speaking of a team that is not huge on scoring, let's shift over to the East where we have Virginia, top seed. And this is a team that I think has totally flown under the radar. At least for me, I haven't thought much about UVA since the days of Junior Burrow. So I'm wondering, what's going on there? How did they become good again? And again, how good are they actually?
Yeah, I mean, I was just at the ACC tournament this week.
Oh, good.
They're good. It's interesting that they've had such an incredible season. In the year that Syracuse was undefeated, into February, and Duke has Jabari Parker, and North Carolina, got going by the end of the season with Marcus Paige. So it's incredibly impressive what Tony Bennett and Virginia have done. They've kind of just, a huge credit goes to Joe Harris and Akil Mitchell. They're seniors on that team. They are the part of Tony Bennett's first recruiting class. They're the only remaining members. The others have left and transferred. And they are just the rock that this program is built on right now. And they have a lot of very similar guys. They're very nice. They're very polite. They're very nice. Like they all come from, I think, pretty, solid backgrounds. They really believe in the same values as Tony Bennett. And they're just a solid group that rise into this self first kind of team. And obviously Malcolm Brogdon comes back from an injury. Anthony Gill transferred and is eligible this year from South Carolina. And the pieces just came together. And I think, I remember hearing around the program last year that Tony Bennett was really excited because, maybe his two best players were on the bench. Obviously Malcolm Brogdon with an injury and then Anthony Gill. And they were just clearly the final two pieces that this team needed. So yeah, they're not going to wow you offensively. They're not going to score a zillion points, but they're so sound on both ends of the court that they're not going to beat themselves in any of these games. And that's kind of what you want. And
Right.
it's really, it's a kudos to them that winning the ACC tournament got them that one seed, and it put them in a region, avoiding those, I think Florida and I think the Wichita State, the Midwest region, are the two toughest, or with the best teams at the top. And by getting a one seed and getting put in the East, it really opens up some opportunities for Virginia. And I think it's just incredible, as you're saying, to think about where the program is this season.
I have to say, I kind of disagree in the terms of the opportunities in the East. Not that Virginia isn't good,
Well,
but when I look at sort of the
say,
seed
yeah.
line, I feel like I don't want to say it's a region that's going to have the most likely unexpected Final Four team, but I look at number three, Iowa State, number four, Michigan State, Carolina at six. One of those teams to me could easily make the Final Four. Am I way
Well,
off base?
I don't know about North Carolina. I actually think Providence is coming into the tournament as maybe the hottest team, and with a ton of confidence. And I'm actually thrilled. I want to see Bryce Cotton and Marcus Paige go up against each other, two of the best guards and most dynamic players in the country. But I don't necessarily know if I see UNC getting through the first game.
I
But I
thought they
bring
had
it.
figured it out. Have I not been paying close enough attention?
Well, I saw them play Pitt and just get destroyed for about 30 minutes and then
Right.
kind of mount a comeback. So I'm not sold on them, but I just think I completely agree, though, with Iowa State and Michigan State. Those are definitely Final Four contenders. They both just won their league tournaments. They are coming in with confidence. I mean, Michigan State hasn't played that well as we saw them yesterday against Michigan. We haven't seen that since maybe their game against Kentucky in the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
I mean, they haven't been healthy.
but it's Izzo. It's March. It is never a good idea to bet against them in March.
No,
They're
no, it's
always good.
no, it's not. And I mean, honestly, like as I was saying, I mean, I have them going to the Final Four from this region, but I have them beating Iowa State to do it, and that was a tough call. But my point about the opening the bracket for Virginia is they're not a two in a region with Wichita and Louisville, and you
Right.
know there is if they can win some games, and it'll be I would love to see them play Michigan State. I think that's a really great matchup, and it'd be fascinating because I think both teams are playing really well right now. But I agree. I mean, Michigan State and Iowa State, I think a lot of people are going to pick those teams to get through. I mean, poor Villanova, people are just, kind of expecting them to lose at some point
I'm one of
early.
those people. I'll raise my hand. I wasn't
So
impressed with what I've seen from them.
we're not even talking about the two seed in that
No,
region.
in fact, let's move on because my favorite 5-12 game, and there's always at least one good 5-12 game, right? That's the whole thing when you're filling out your brackets. Cincinnati versus Harvard is in the
Yes, me
East.
too. That's my favorite too.
Awesome. Now, the book on Harvard is that they are actually legitimately good this year, not just like Ivy League good. And since he plays nasty defense, which I really, for some reason, like watching them play, who do you like in that game?
I like Harvard. It was funny because I had to do a bunch of videos for USAToday.com last night, and the video people were kind of getting, they're like, "Oh, let me guess, we're going to talk about Harvard." Because honestly, because a lot of the smaller conference tournaments, there were a lot of upsets. There aren't a ton of like huge, the underdog type teams that you really want to like put all of your eggs in the basket for. So I think that this is like a really great matchup to pick an upset if you want to. Again, Cincinnati's had an incredible season. Sean Kilpatrick has been incredible. But you're right, this Harvard team is actually very solid. I mean, they were coming into the year returning almost everybody from a team that won a game in the NCAA tournament, has been here before, has pulled off the upset, knows what it takes. And then added, Kyle Casey and Brandon Curry back from, they were involved in the academic scandal. They're back on the team. The team is deep. But Siani Chambers is the key, I think, their point guard. And he's had a great year, but you need good guard play. I actually have a story on USAToday.com today and in the
Good
paper
plug.
about,
Everybody go read that.
yes, about the art of the upset. And I talked to Tommy Amaker about it. And he was one of the coaches who was very set on you need good guards and 3-point shooting, and especially for their team. And then you can beat anybody. I mean, that's what keeps you in the games, and that's what helps you not get flustered. And they have that. So I think, based on that, the roster makeup, plus the fact that they did this last year and they beat New Mexico, makes them a prime candidate to pull off the upset.
Yeah, I love the idea of Harvard being a plucky underdog in anything.
I
This
know, I
NCAA
know.
tournament is probably the only thing in the whole world where Harvard is an underdog in anything.
Right, because they're probably favored in like squash and everything else, but
Right, and awesome in life.
yes,
I
in
mean,
life, for sure.
it's
I mean,
Harvard.
that was the funniest part about last year's upset. It was like, ah, I'm so glad that something great can happen for Harvard,
I know these
Like,
poor kids. Nothing's gonna work out for them otherwise.
right.
Not like the people at Florida Gulf Coast. But anyway, let's move. Is there an upset special you like in this region besides that Harvard Cincy game? Anyone else?
I mean, I think
That's the one.
that's the one. I mean, like I said, Providence, like 6-11 is a little bit interesting. It's not a huge upset when those happen. Like I said, I think Providence is coming in, maybe the hottest team in the whole tournament. So I would give them the edge over UNC, but like I said, I think that's going to be a fascinating matchup between the guards. So I'm just excited for that one, but I don't know if that's going to qualify as a huge upset, because I think both of those teams have been all over the place this season, and it wouldn't surprise me either way.
Gambler's nightmare. Let's move
Yeah,
to let's move to the Midwest. And by the way, speaking of gambling, I think everybody should know what we're talking about here is for recreational purposes only. This is not for wagering, unless, of course, you're in Las Vegas. And I would recommend staying away from Las Vegas during the tournament because it's a total sausage fest. I think I can say that on the air. Not sure, but let's move to the Midwest. Wichita State. Fantastic mascot. Easily my favorite
yes.
mascot in the tournament. Maybe my favorite mascot ever. I still can't really figure it out. It's like some sort of angry avenging ear of corn, I think. I'm not sure. The team itself, though, they look good on paper. I've seen them play, look pretty good on television. Hard to judge totally against the level of competition they're going against. Are they for real?
Well, it's funny. I don't think we're even going to have to wait long to hear the answer to that question. The first thing I thought of was that the knock on Wichita all season has been, oh, they haven't played anybody. Well, you know what? If they survive this region, they will have played people. That will go
Right.
away completely. They will be completely validated because, you look at this region, you got Kentucky as an 8 seed, a potential round of 32 matchup for them, got
Right, which
Louisville
is
waiting.
crazy.
Yeah, I know, which and I also think would be hilarious if it happens. Think of it, Kentucky. They came in with those 40-0 t-shirts being sold, for fans, and if they're the ones to pull off the up to beat the undefeated team, can you just imagine? I'm kind of rooting for that to happen just to see what happens.
Those t-shirts have long since been distributed somewhere in a third world country, by the way.
Well, or they're in Wichita, Kansas. You don't know where they went.
Right.
But
Just
anyway, so I think that's fascinating to me. But I think you got Louisville. Obviously, you got three of the final four teams from last year in this region: Louisville, Wichita, Michigan, plus Duke. It's obviously being referred to as the region of death, and I think it's just going to be awesome. I think there's going to be, yeah, maybe we're not even going to see all the marquee matchups because I think we could see some upsets here. You've got Tennessee in this region, but I think it's just going to be a lot of fun. But you're right about Wichita. If they get through this. We'll have answered a lot of questions about, how tough the Shockers are, how talented they are, what kind of a coach Greg Marshall is, because it's going to take quite a bit to get through this region unscathed.
I want to see them play Kentucky in the second round. I think
Oh, I do.
everybody does.
Yes.
What is going on at this point with Kentucky? I mean, like, is did we just overrate their talent coming in? Have they just not been able to put it together? Like, they just seem schizophrenic, and that's even not only from game to game, but like from minute to minute within games. What's the report on them? How far could they really go?
It's interesting because the whole thing all year we've kind of been waiting for them to hit their stride, play well, the kids to grow up. In a sense, that's the way I've been referring to it. And I think I listened to the broadcast yesterday. It was a great line. It was like they're less fewer AAU possessions on this team. They have to learn how to
Yeah,
play as a
right.
team and play defense and all the things that you don't do in AAU. That's definitely been a challenge. We've seen John Calipari try a variety of different tactics, the latest being like kind of mind games a little bit. And they really, in that comeback when they almost beat Florida yesterday, they look good. They look finally were coming together, and they were hustling. They were making the plays. They were getting the balls to the right guys. And then to not even get a shot to win the game was I'm sure a huge crushing moment for them. But I think obviously they're I think they would be coming into the tournament with some confidence based on the SEC tournament run. Part of their problem this year, I think was the SEC wasn't great. We can say that. They've got three teams in. Tennessee is in a play-in game,
They only
so
care about football. They're never that
Oh,
great, but come
it's
on.
true. But I just don't think that Kentucky was challenged. They lost games. They lost to South Carolina. They lost to some of these teams, Arkansas. But it was held against them the fact that their wins came against teams that were closer to like an RPI 100 instead of
Right.
like a top 50 win, those sorts of things. But Florida was their measuring stick game. They lost all three times they played them. So I think they need to kind of make a run in the NCAA tournament to kind of validate this recruiting class, which was hailed as the best since the Fab Five, and John Calipari's system a little bit, because you're coming off an NIT year, and this was supposed to fix that, right the ship. They were preseason number one, if you can remember
I
back to
do
that far.
remember.
Oh my God. And then they need a run in the NCAA tournament to validate themselves, I
So
think.
staying in the state there, Louisville, defending national champions. I feel like they have to be the strongest four seed. I don't usually complain about seeding, but I don't understand how they're a four seed, and I just feel like everybody's sleeping on them. What's going on with that?
The seeding thing, I know people were in an uproar about that. I was not. If you look at their resume, first off, seeding is based on body work, not just how good they've looked the last 2 weeks. And happy and non-conference play was Southern Miss. They missed all of their opportunities for decent wins. And then, yeah, they got going in conference play. There were only a couple of other, there were only three other teams from their league in the NCAA tournament. And yes, they're looking good. They're hot. They're like Michigan State. They're the trendy four seed pick. But I have no problem with them being a four. There's things in that don't get taken into consideration. The fact that they won the title last year is not a part of seeding, but that's a huge advantage for them entering the tournament. So, I mean, I know people are saying, oh, Wichita State maybe got screwed a little bit because, Louisville's the four in their bracket. Whatever, that was their resume. They did not do what they needed to do in the non-conference. They didn't, their RPI numbers were not that impressive. So they're a four seed, and that's okay. But I do think they're a dangerous team, even in this really tough region, to get going because they have a ton of experience. Russ Smith is having an incredible season. He's no longer Rusticulous. He's not inconsistent. He's just consistently good now, and he's making right decisions and hitting big shots. And they went to the Final Four 2 years ago, the title game last year. They have a ton of confidence, ton of experience. I'm sure they would love to get back there again. And if they have to, go through Wichita or Kentucky or Michigan again to get there, I think they're going to be very confident they can.
So Michigan could end up playing Duke in a Sweet 16. Could they combine for 200 points, 200 plus points?
Possibly.
Like, do either of those teams play any defense whatsoever? Because I like watching them, but I don't think they can stop anybody.
Well, it's interesting. KenPom numbers for those teams, like their offenses are right up there, very, very, very good in the nation. And then their defenses are like 100, and it's interesting because you don't usually see title contenders that are that different. Usually, it's a very solid defense and a very solid offense, or it's just rare. So no, I mean, I think that's part of it. There are definitely some teams on this bracket that don't play defense as well as others. I mean, I think that's why, I've got Florida and Arizona in the title game in my bracket, and that's based on their defenses, because I think that's ultimately what carries you all the way through the tournament. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Michigan Duke would be a lot of fun. And those two teams met back in November, December, early December, and I went to that game at Cameron, and
Is
Michigan
that
was
where you tweeted? That's not where you tweeted
dreadful.
the photo of being like stuck on
No,
press row with.
that was from Duke. Who they? Oh, Syracuse, the Boeheim
Okay.
ejection.
Right, because that was nothing but body paint and armpit
Yes.
hair. I'm sure that's a pleasant
Well,
experience
that
for
is
you,
what
but.
it is like to cover a game at Cameron. But the Michigan game, Michigan was terrible. Nick Stauskas had like 4 points total. Mitch McGarry was playing hurt still, and they just couldn't. The offense was just like anemic. And I literally looked at the box score yesterday, and I was like amazed that that is the same team. That was in the running for number one seed in the NCAA tournament. It's just amazing. So I think they would love to get that rematch and kind of show Duke, hey, that wasn't the real Michigan team this year. So that would be fascinating. But I also like, I mean, if Louisville can, if Louisville can get there and Michigan can get there, they could meet, for a trip to the Final Four, and that's a title game rematch from last year, which would also be pretty fun.
That would be fun. Is there a first round upset special in this region?
Yeah, I think you could go with whoever wins the play-in game and then play St. Louis. So I have NC State winning that game. I think I'm shocked that they got into the tournament. But TJ Warren is incredible. I got to see him firsthand at the ACC tournament, and he is capable of winning them games single-handedly. So I think St. Louis had been one of the best teams all season, very consistent defensive team, similar to Virginia, n not going to wow you offensively, but we're getting the job done. And then they really slumped, to end the season and getting upset early in the A-10 tournament. I don't know if the confidence is there. I don't know. They're just not playing as well as they were earlier this season. So I think that they're primed for an upset. That's a 5-12. 5-12 is not. There's usually at least one. So,
Yep.
we talked about Harvard. This is another possibility. I also think, the winner, this one has we have a bunch of playing games in this part of the bracket. Whoever's going to play UMass in that 6-11 game is also a possibility. If Manhattan was playing anybody but Louisville, I would have picked them as a potential upset pick. But I do think, as we've been talking about, the Cardinals look too good right now, and they're playing too well to let that slip. But so I would say UMass is a potential upset in St. Louis. I mean, I think none of the big boys are going down in the opening round, I don't think.
You mentioned the idea of one man show. Do we have a sort of smaller school or lesser known, like standout player who could like literally just take his team to one or two victories, just put them
Yeah.
on their back, like the sort of, like Harold Arsenault type guy?
Well, first off, you really should read my story that's on the website today. It's about there's a section about star power, CJ McCollum, Kyle O'Quinn, the guys who carried their team to the upset. And so actually in that Duke is playing Mercer. Mercer's out of Florida Gulf Coast Conference. And they've got Langston Hall, who is their guard, their guy who can kind of take over a game. And a lot of these smaller conference teams, actually, they do have those guys. We'll talk about when we get to the next region. Creighton's opponent, Louisiana Lafayette, has Elfrid Payton, who's that kind of guy, maybe an NBA type player eventually. But there are those guys.
Wow, that'd be interesting if Doug McDermott got outshined.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'll be very hard to do that,
Yeah,
but
you're right.
I agree. And I mean, even though UMass has Chaz Williams, their point guard, he can take over a game. I know they're a six seed, so they don't quite qualify, but if they, win a couple games and get to the Sweet 16, let's say, they're a dangerous team. It is interesting because this game, there's only five players. One can really take over and just completely change an outcome of a game. So, if Mercer pulls off the upset of Duke, well, you heard it here first. You heard it here why? Because I think, if you watch, I watched the ASUN title game against Florida Gulf Coast. It was a fantastic game. I was really impressed by Langston Hall, and I think that is kind of the mold. You want a veteran team, and it'd be great if you have a star player who can kind of carry the team on their back, and they're used to doing that. And I think that's what you're looking for when you're looking for upset teams. And like NC State is obviously from a major conference, but they have that with TJ Warren. ACC Player of the Year, and he can score, 40 points a drop of a hat. Him against McDermott would be pretty entertaining. I mean, they could each just go like for 50. But
I'd
so
like to watch a good old-fashioned scoring duel. That would be
yeah,
fun.
they could just play one on one and see what happens. But so anyway, I mean, that's I think what you're looking for when you're looking for those teams and players who can make a little
So
run.
everybody pencil in Mercer. You did hear it here first, and you're already going to go with your heart against Duke anyway. Why not make it official? Let's get to the West. Most people probably don't know this, and maybe I mentioned this last time you were on, but my father's a professor at Arizona. And I grew up 5 minutes from campus, so I'm actually a fan, and I'm kind of biased, and I'm worried because Wildcats play awesome defense, but they brick free throws. They go through these long, inexplicable stretches where they can't score. Are they in trouble?
That has been the one problem with them. And it was interesting because in the SEC title game, Florida started missing free throws, and I was like, oh my God, they're like the same team. I am concerned about that. I'm concerned. Aaron Gordon in particular has missed a lot of free throws. And I'm just wondering, if they're in a tight game and they need him in the game, if other teams will just foul him and, like hope that will get them back in the game. So I don't know how they're going to approach that sort of a situation. But, they've lost some games. Obviously, I think when we last talked, they may not have lost yet. So free throw shooting. I think they're aware of them, and hopefully that's something you just work on every day in practice and can improve at. But I do think that is a potential problem. I actually think that this region though is pretty friendly to Arizona, so
It
I don't know
is.
if it's
I
going to be a
agree.
huge issue. I mean, yeah, they might have Oklahoma State in the round of 32, but honestly, I'd be surprised if they don't come out of this and get to the Final Four.
Yeah, I actually think the biggest threat to them might be San Diego State,
Yeah.
because San Diego State is kind of, I wouldn't say a total mirror image of Arizona, but sort of similar, and there's a whole West Coast rivalry thing there. And San Diego
Well,
State just always
they
plays really
played
well
each
against Arizona.
other. Yeah, I mean, they had a good game early in the beginning of the season before we realized, how good either team was. So I think that'd be great. I mean, Steve Fisher is an awesome coach, and I
He
think,
is.
that's a great coaching matchup in that one. But I agree. I mean, the bottom half of that region, yes, Creighton and Wisconsin. I actually think Creighton matches up well with Wisconsin. They don't have the defense that they normally do. But I also think if Creighton plays a team like Arizona with an inside presence and a good defensive team, they will get shut down. And even if you take away everyone except McDermott, you can win that game. So I think that the entire region itself is friendly. I agree with you. I think San Diego State might end up being like, assuming Arizona wins these games, all the games, and gets through to the Final Four, that San Diego State may end up being the closest one or the scare out of the entire region.
Speaking of Wisconsin, by the way, because you mentioned them a second ago, really weird to see a Wisconsin team that isn't boring to watch. I don't know what happened. I'm glad for it. But they've kind of, it seems like their identity has sort of shifted the last year or two.
Well, I mean, I think this season in particular. But yeah, honestly, they've also been more inconsistent, though. I mean, that's been they had their losing streak in the middle of the season, and but you're right. I mean, the offense is definitely more entertaining. But the defense isn't quite as stringent as it used to be, which I think is gonna be interesting to see how they perform in the tournament. Because obviously, Wisconsin's a perennial tournament team. Bo Ryan's coached in a lot, but. I am curious to see if the offensive differences and the defenses just being a little bit less, smothering It hurts, helps or hurts them because, you do need to outscore people in the NCAA tournament. So having the offense should help. But, I'm not sure how far they get.
Back to Arizona for a second. Aaron Gordon, is he the best defensive player in the country? And you should say yes.
No, I don't think. Honestly, I'm that conversation is probably some of the perimeter players, because I've been really impressed, and VCU's guards are also incredible. I think Aaron Gordon's really solid. He's had an incredible year, and I think because he doesn't score 20 points a game, he hasn't gotten a ton of attention for it. And we've talked about his free throws troubles. But you're right, he's been incredibly good defensively. He does exactly what they need him to do. He's huge on the boards, and he scores, what's he averaging, like 11 or 12 points a game. Like he does exactly what that team needs, and he just fits them so well. I mean, but I think that entire defense is really good. I mean, Nick Johnson's a great defender. TJ McConnell is annoying if you have to go up against
He's
him, you
like
know.
he is kind of like an Aaron Kraft-esque figure, is he not?
And I think that, but together that defense is so good. And that's why I would love to see him go up against Florida, because I think those are the two best defensive teams in the country. Just like, at all positions. And you don't really see teams that buy in defensively as much as those two.
Right.
So
My favorite 8-9 game in the whole bracket is Oklahoma State Gonzaga. Marcus Smart, it seems like he has righted the ship, and maybe the Cowboys have too.
I think they have definitely, fixed some things. They're definitely playing a lot better than they did when they had their 7-game losing streak. And they'll have some confidence. They didn't, I think the NCAA or the Big 12 tournament was all right for them. And I think that Marcus Smart could use a big game. I don't know how strong that team is. People question Travis Ford is maybe not the best in-game coach compared to some of the others we've discussed or you see on this bracket.
Sure,
It'll
but
be
they have some talent though. They have some real
Oh, they have
talent
a ton
besides
of
Smart.
talent to
That's
do
the
it. They
thing.
do. They do. And that's why, in the beginning of the year, they were a sleeper Final Four pick, because I think that he is surrounded by a lot of talent. But I agree that I think it'll be really interesting. I think Gonzaga, last year the one seed to lose early, and
Right,
then
they were, and everyone sort of snickered at them getting a 1 seed in the first place. Are they undervalued now?
They haven't had the kind of season that they usually do. I mean, they were there was a stretch where they were like maybe going to be on the bubble if they didn't win the West Coast tournament. But I think that it'll be a good game. I still like I like Gonzaga last year, and I still like them. I think Kevin Pangos is a great guard, and Mark Few is a great coach. And I agree. I think that will be a really intriguing 8-9 matchup. Those are very different teams and very different programs. And that's what the NCAA tournament's best at. You get these like completely different coaches and players and styles of play, and I think that'll be a fun one.
You have an upset special for the West? First round?
Like I mentioned, like Louisiana Lafayette has Elfrid Payton, who's a really great guard. I think I really bought into Nebraska ball. I'm like I think they're one of the best stories in the whole season, and so that's a 6-11. I know Baylor's playing extremely well, and it's probably unlikely, but if Nebraska and Creighton win their first round games, they'll play each other, which would be like a huge game in the state of Nebraska, because now that Nebraska basketball is like kind of relevant, there's this whole the fans of each school like hate when the other program is getting attention. Obviously Creighton has like
Really?
players.
They actually just hate the other team getting attention.
Oh yeah, I was there the day
Is this like
Creighton.
college basketball Mean Girls or something?
Well, I was there. I saw Creighton beat Villanova badly at home, and then like that was the same day or the day after Nebraska had upset Michigan State and finally was on the bubble. And both fan bases, because I was at both schools within like 48 hours, the fan bases were just like, oh, I can't believe like they put Creighton on the cover of the paper today. Or like, oh, I can't believe people are talking about why did Nebraska have to win today? It was hilarious.
So
So
I want to change my analogy. This sounds like basically like if you have two dogs and you're petting one and the other one runs in and like shoves their nose under your hand and is like, no, pet
I
me.
think that's true. But also, Nebraska hasn't had basketball fans, have there are things called Jayskers, which are Nebraska football fans, and they root for the Creighton Blue Jays for basketball. So
That's
there's
hit that's a hideous, what a hideous hybrid that is. I
yes.
can't support that.
No, but I mean, they haven't, Nebraska basketball hasn't been to the tournament in
Sure.
forever. So, so there's a
You
lot
take some
there.
success where you can get it. That makes
Yeah.
sense.
So hopefully I'm like against all odds because I think Baylor's playing really well. That's kind of an upset I'd like to see just to set up that round of 32 matchup.
So we're almost out of time, and I know you're busy. Let me ask you really quickly, do you personally fill out any kind of USA Today office pool bracket? And does being a college basketball writer actually help you win?
So I did not last year, and I my bracket has to go online so I can get publicly ridiculed.
Oh, that's a little different. Do you have a private bracket, a reserve stock
No, I
bracket?
mean, I you know, it's there's just too much going on. But no, I don't think anything. Part of it is, I don't want to like sometimes for the public bracket. Like I do kind of want to pick a couple of upsets, get people thinking, talking. Like the Mercer one is getting Duke fans mad at me, but. If I'm picking, I would probably go maybe a little bit more chalk if I was picking for a personal bracket, because you don't want to lose some of those top teams too early. But
Sure.
so I, more for just conversation's sake, I just, pick a couple of surprise games, but no, I don't think it helps.
What's the best you've ever finished in office pool?
Oh, I don't even know. I'm not very good. It's, you know what always happens if you pick the one upset and then that's the region
Yeah.
that like a one seed comes from and you just get like completely wiped out.
Well, the thing, I mean,
I'm
the
not
thing
very
is too,
good.
yeah, I'm not, you know what? You shouldn't be good because actual knowledge of college basketball is always inversely proportional to
That's
how well
true.
you'll do in the bracket.
It's true. People who pick based off of mascots or colors always win these things.
That's right. If we had more time, we would get in some of the mascot matchups. But since we're running short, one last thing. How can people follow you on Twitter?
You go to my name, Nicole Auerbach, NicoleAuerbach.
That's spoken like a true reporter, spelling it out. I like that.
Well, people can't spell my last name, so
People can't
it's true.
spell. You're giving people too much credit. They can't spell, period.
Well, that's also true. The only thing that helps with my last name is that it's the same as Red Auerbach, and so coaches at least can pronounce it.
That's
That's the
right.
only
We
benefit.
discussed that last time and you
Yep.
gave away your secret.
Yeah.
Ah, well, Nicole Auerbach, like Red Auerbach, USA Today college basketball writer, thank you again. Everyone else, it is madness time. So let's get started. For Sports on Earth, I'm Patrick Ruby saying goodbye, Ruby Tuesday.